You are headmistress, not mother to these children, regardless of that piece of paper Rebecca Dorchester had you sign. Lily will return to her grandfather, where she belongs. He plans to be here in the morning to collect her. You, he said, with a suddenly beneficent smile that did nothing to thaw the ice impaling her chest, will surely find a new position in record time. Here. He pulled a paper from a thin stack of folders in his arms. I've taken the liberty of putting together a list of potential employers for you. These are some of the finest female academies in the country. Charlotte took the paper from his hand and willed it not to quiver. Chicago? Boston? Charleston? Her eyes continued down the list. All so far away. Dr. Sullivan beamed at her. You are a brilliant music instructor, Miss Atherton, and have proven yourself quite capable at administration as well. I've already sent glowing letters of recommendation to each of these institutions. Any of them would be lucky to have you. But none of them would accept her if she had a child in tow. Charlotte glanced up from the page to meet her employer's eyes. Not a difficult task, since the man stood an inch below her in height. Neither was it difficult to read the guilt behind his smile. The list of prestigious schools, letters of recommendation, unnecessary compliments, all appeasements for his conscience. He knew how unlikely the staff were to find replacement positions midterm, just as he knew how wrong it was to turn his back on the pupils he'd promised to educate. Yet he was closing the school anyway. Closing the school and narrowing her options so that she had no choice but to give Lily Dorchester into her grandfather's keeping if she wished to retain a teaching position. Well, he might think he'd herded her like a heifer into a chute, but if she'd learned one thing in her 28 years, it was that even when backed into a corner, one always had a choice. Always. After Dr. Sullivan nodded to her in that condescending way of his that made her skin itch, as if she hadn't a brain for herself and would be lost without a man to give her guidance, he swung the office door wide and gestured for her to exit. Biting her tongue, Charlotte passed through the doorway and silently resolved to toss his list of schools into the belly of her stove the moment she returned to her room. Her career could be sacrificed easily enough. Protecting Lily took precedence. With the dark of night cloaking the halls of the school, Charlotte placed her two carpet bags outside her door and gave a final glance over her room. The rug lay properly aligned with the angle of the floorboards, no stray papers across the desk, no wrinkles in the coverlet atop the bed, all as it should be. She gave a little nod of approval, a nod that would have to serve as goodbye as well, for she would not be returning. She'd taught at the academy for 10 years, 7 as music instructor, 3 as headmistress. A tiny part of her ached for the loss of the familiar, the safe. Yet she had no time for sentimental attachment. She'd made a promise she intended to keep, no matter the cost. Straightening her shoulders, Charlotte turned her back and pulled the door closed, clicking the latch silently into place. Then, careful to stay on the balls of her feet so her heels wouldn't click against the wooden floor, she made her way to the staircase that led to the boys' dormitory. She crept up the stairs, then down the hall, and eased open the door to the sleeping chamber. Stephen, she whispered into the darkness, her eyes not yet adjusted to the full black of the attic room. Here, Miss Lottie. Charlotte sucked in a startled breath. Heavens, the boy was practically on top of her. How could she not see him? She turned her head in the direction of the sound and squinted until she made out 2 small shadows a few steps from her elbow. John's with me. A telltale rattle had Charlotte gritting her teeth. Stephen, she scolded in a hushed tone as she ushered the boys into the hall and closed the door. You were